This portion of the Cliff Notes podcast is brought to you by Tolly & Associates, Little Caesars of St. Joseph, John Anderson Insurance, Meyerhofer Funeral Home and Crematory, Miljavik Electric, Musser Construction, Greg Kastner, voice of the Bishop of Blonde Golden Eagles and the St. Joseph Mustangs, Brent and Angie Lawson, Travis and Amber DeBoard, Jason and Mary Watkins, Matt and Jenny Busby, Brian and Rebecca Viertaler, Fruit and Thaw Primary Care, The Michelle Cook Group, Russell Book and Bookball 365, Beast Tees and Embroidery, Janelle Glidewell of Lightstar Financial, KT Logistics LLC, Hicks and Klein Funeral Home, James L. Griffin Law Firm of Maysville, Toby Prusman of Premier Land and Auction Group, Barnes Roofing, the St. Joseph School District, Patrick Lyle Insurance, Cintas, the Hi-Ho Bar and Grill, HK Quality Sheet Metal, Redmond Farms in Maysville, Robin Stacia Studer, Jeff and Michelle Zeit, Melissa Wynn, Gabe Edgar, and Daisy Fresh, NMLS 244215. Thank you guys all for your support and patronage to the Cliff Notes Podcast. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome everybody to the Cliff Notes Podcast. I'm your host, Clifton Grooves. It is Friday night, November the 3rd, 2023. We have an absolute loaded edition of the Post-it Notes in store for you this evening as we have district semifinal football. We have Bishop LeBlanc at state volleyball. We'll go over those results. And we have a couple of local state cross-country runners as we replay some of the results from Class 1 and Class 2 state cross-country meets that took place this morning. We're also going to be previewing the Saturday schedule, and that's pretty loaded as well. But let's go ahead, let's run down the highlights of the Week 11 Cliff Notes Podcast Game of the Week as an inner-city matchup, 8-man District 5 semifinal as Bishop LeBlanc makes the trip about a few miles away to St. Joe Christian for a big-time matchup there. Lions the 2-seed, Golden Eagles the 3-seed, but let's go ahead, let's recap the first quarter. Bishop LeBlanc on St. Joe Christian's first possession forces a fumble, but LeBlanc couldn't take advantage of it. Forced a punt on the Lions' next possession. Cy Carlson on a 16-yard touchdown run. PAT was no good. It was 6-0 St. Joe Christian. That would be the score that we would end the first quarter with. In the second quarter, Christian scores again. Peyton Hausman, part of his big night, part of his two touchdowns on the evening, a 41-yard touchdown score to make it 14-0 St. Joe Christian. LeBlanc would get back on the board. They would get on the board for the first time with a Jackson Segrist on a reverse, making it 14-8 Lions. But Peyton Hausman, once again, a 3-yard touchdown run, 20-8 St. Joe Christian. Cooper Tabor would get LeBlanc back on the board with a 5-yard touchdown run himself, 20-14, still behind by 6. But Levi Miller, DeVale Freestein on a 13-yard touchdown pass put the Lions up 26-14 at the half. But then, here's when the fun starts in the third quarter. It was a defensive game, pretty much. Bishop LeBlanc stopped on fourth down on their first possession in the third quarter, but St. Joe Christian had a fumble recovered. Another fumble on the ground by St. Joe Christian, recovered by LeBlanc. LeBlanc would take advantage of it. Trey Ike, on a 1-yard touchdown run, made it 26-20, Bishop LeBlanc getting back into the game. But with 3:27 left in the game, with LeBlanc marching down the field, St. Joe Christian would force a Golden Eagle fumble and then would run out the clock to seal the game and your final score. St. Joe Christian 26, Bishop LeBlanc 20. St. Joe Christian now 7-3 on the season. Bishop LeBlanc ends their season at 4-5. We had the opportunity to talk with Lions coach Troy Schenck after his team's emotional win over Bishop LeBlanc.
Coach, talk about how you're feeling after this game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can put the feeling into emotions and into words. That we've had. We've come a long ways, and so I'm still proud of the kids. And so they've worked and fought and scratched for every bit of this tonight. And so really the credit goes to them. We got a great coaching staff, but those kids believed in what the coaches were saying, and they worked as hard as they could to get to this spot.
Talk about that fumble with 3 minutes left down there. You know, you guys were able to recover that fumble, which kind of helped kind of run down the clock a little bit. Just talk about that big play from your defense in a key situation.
Huge play. I think it was Cy Carlson on our sideline. He knocked the ball out. And then Aiden Martindale came up with the recovery. And so our defense had been playing tough all night. And they stepped up at the end and made the play, probably the play of the game.
Yeah, your defense, they only allowed 6 points in the entire second half. I mean, you didn't even score in the second half, and you won. That's not typical eight-man football. But your defense has been really playing strong. I mean, you won two games where you only scored in the 20s in the last couple of games. I mean, talk about how your defense has really come up strong lately.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of good coaches on defense. Coach Schoonover has been heading up the defense, and those guys have been playing well. About midway through the season, we really started gelling together. We really started stepping up. And, you know, that defense, and so I've said this before, you know, you got to win the game three ways. You got to win on special teams, you got to win on defense, or you got to win on offense. And tonight, you know, our defense stood tall.
Coach, you and I have discussed this so many times. You know, this has got to be emotional for you with how far this program has come in the last several years. You know, we talked to Peyton. Peyton's a junior. You know, one win his first two seasons here, now 7 wins, and an opportunity now to play for a district championship. Can you put all that into words?
I don't know if I can, but I'll try. There's a lot of emotions that go along with this. These guys, they didn't quit. And so these young men have a lot of high character. They battled for years with no wins. And, you know, one win one season, one win the next season. And they just battled. And they kept their head down. They stayed in the weight room. And so it's a credit to their character. It's a credit to their families for raising such good young men. And so that's, you know, this game today is a byproduct of, you know, their high character. And so it started with character, and then they just worked their brains out.
So you've got Plattsburgh next week. They're a high-scoring offense, but as I said, you've been playing good defense. How do you counter that offense?
Yeah, they got a lot of talent. We've seen them a little bit. But, you know, we're going to enjoy, you know, this semifinal win in districts tonight. And then we'll get on Plattsburgh and try to figure out a way to slow them down and see if our offense can score some more points next week.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All righty. A huge thank you to head coach Troy Shank of the St. Joe Christian Lions for joining us on the podcast. Now, how about this night for this junior, Peyton Hausman? 21 carries, 157 yards, and 2 touchdowns, including the go-ahead first down to run the clock out. Hausman joined me after the game to talk about the Lions' victory. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here on the Cliff Notes Podcast live here at St. Joe Christian High School, where the Lions just defeated Bishop LeBlanc in the 8-man District 5 semifinals. We are here with running back Peyton Hausman. Peyton, first of all, you know, that conversion on fourth down to seal the game there. Just talk about the emotions on just how you're feeling right now.
The best way to describe it is I was on cloud nine. I love running the ball, and it really feels good when you get a touchdown.
I mean, just talk about, you know, also to talk about the defensive play that was made out there for about 3 minutes left. LeBlanc was making a charge back into the game. You guys were able to recover that fumble with about 3 minutes and 20 seconds left to kind of – that kind of helped kind of seal the game, and you guys were able to run the clock. How big was that defensive play?
Oh, I just know we were stressing up until that point, and that was a big turn. And it just gave us a lot of momentum, and I think it was what we were able to finish the game on.
Can you just talk about just the mood of this team? I know, you know, some of you guys have been on this team the last couple of years, you know, going from one win in 2 years to now 7 this season. Just talk about just how far this program has come in your 3 years.
I think our motto right now is we don't want to be the lovable losers anymore. We've been stepped on for the past couple of years, and we want to take it to other teams now. We're not going to be the team to be stepped on anymore.
Now, that sets you up with a district championship game now. District championship game, a trip to Plattsburgh, you know, maybe uncharted territory for this team over the last couple of years. You know, now you go from one win in 2 years to now 7 wins, a district championship title game appearance. Just talk about being in a district championship.
I'm going to be honest. I am so excited. And I hope we do it next year, this year. Oh, I just don't even think I can put it into words.
Well, Peyton, congratulations on the big win tonight. Congratulations on the big game tonight. And good luck to you next week as you guys face Plattsburgh.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All righty. Thank you so much to Peyton Hausman for joining me on the podcast. Let's go ahead. Let's run down some other scores from district semifinals, starting with 11-man football in Class 6 District 8. The Central Indians hosting their first ever district semifinal in school history, but unfortunately, Park Hill was able to edge out the Indians for a 35-28 victory. Indians finished their season at 7-3. Great season for Coach Reggie Trotter and those boys at Central. Savannah season ends at the hands of Kearney. Bulldogs beat the Savages 35-13 in Class 4 District 8 action. Class 3 District 8, Maryville all over Cameron tonight, 47-8. St. Pius over Chillicothe, 51-6. That sets up a rematch from Week 4, a thriller at the Hound Pound back in Week 4. Pius at Maryville next Friday night for the Class 3 District 8 Championship. Class 2 District 8 semifinals now. East Buchanan continuing their undefeated season with a 66-14 win over Brookfield. How about this win for Mid-Buck? Dragons going on the road to Trenton for a 20-7 victory. That sets up the Battle of the Buchanans for the district championship next week. That is also our Week 12 Cliff Notes podcast game of the week, as we will be in the house in Gower for that one. East Buck, Mid-Buck, always a great rivalry, always a great showing between those two teams. Let's go to Class 1 District 4 quarterfinal action. Milan, one-seeded Wildcats, holding serve over Scotland County 44-0. Westron over Putnam County. How about this? 13-12. Westron kicking a field goal in the final seconds to edge out Putnam County in that one. They will advance to meet Penny. Penny was down to Maysville for the majority of the second half. Penny was able to come back and win that game 44-32 over the Wolverines. Class 1 District 3 quarters now. North Platte over Wellington Napoleon 59-14. They will meet up with the winner. Let's go and see here. They will meet up with the winner of, I believe it's Crestridge. So yes, North Platte and Crestridge in the semifinals next week there in Dearborn. Windsor shuts out West Platte 39-0. They will meet Skyline, who defeated Polo 36-30 was a final score in that one. Let's go into the 8-man world now. 8-man District 8. North Shelby ends Princeton season with a 76-40 victory there at North Shelby. 8-man District 7. Platte Valley over King City 54-8. And then Worth County, the 2-seed, over 6-seed of Pattonsburg, 64-14. Platte Valley, Worth County, a rematch there in Bartered. That was our Week 1 Cliff Notes podcast game of the week. That was a thriller in Grant City. Those two teams will rematch in Bartered this next Friday night. 8-man District 6. This is when it starts getting a little crazy here. How about South Holt scoring with no time left to defeat Mound City 56-44. Panthers had the Knights down by almost 30 in the third quarter, but South Holt makes a tremendous charge back, scores with no time left, and preserves their undefeated season. How about that? The Knights will face East Atchison, who pulled the 3-2 upset over Nottoway Valley this evening. 46-34 was the final score in that one. So East Atchison at South Holt for the district title next Friday. 8-man District 5, we already mentioned St. Joe Christian defeated Bishop LeBlanc 26-20. Lions will meet Plattsburgh, who held serve tonight with a 72-0 win over DeKalb. That will take place in Plattsburgh next Friday night. High school volleyball scores. Now, how about Bishop LeBlanc in a heartbreaker, losing a 5-set thriller to Herman 3-2. Bishop LeBlanc won the first set 25-18, but Herman came out strong in the second set. 25-8 was the score in the second set. LeBlanc played a big-time set in the third. 29-27 was the score in that one. And then a close set in the fourth, 25-23 for Herman. But then Herman was able to pull away for a 15-7 win in the fifth set. So Bishop LeBlanc will be playing for third coming up tomorrow night at 10, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. as they will face Arcadia Valley in the third place game there in Cape Girardeau. Let's go ahead. Let's talk about some state cross country highlights. Now, we're going to start in class one. How about the career, the cross country career for Riley Blay of Nottoway Valley, the senior wrapping up his cross country career with his third straight state championship. How about this, Al? Let's go ahead. Let's credit John Dykstra of the Maryville Forum, who actually got this stat to me earlier today. He is the only three-time Class 1 champion in the history of the Missouri, the second in any class since they started having these cross-country state meets back in 1949. That just explains how special of a young man and how special of a talent Riley Blay is there in Nottoway Valley. He is committed to Northwest for cross country and track. Other notable results in class one for the boys: John Eckstein from Bishop LeBlanc. He also medaled with an 8th place finish at state. Also medaling from Mound City is Keaton Zimbles from Mound City. You can see those complete results on the Clip Notes Podcast social media pages. You can check out those class one boys results there. Couple of medalists in class one girls. How about Myra Ray from Platte County? She was an absolute monster on the track and field circuit this past spring, dominating, leaving where she left off on the fall sports side for cross country, taking her first ever state championship as a sophomore. Nora Watkins from Rockport took 4th place. And then Katie Pinkow and Abigail Adkins finishing 21st and 22nd, respectfully, for Mound City. Also, Jayla Irvine from East Atchison also medaled at 24th place. Congratulations to all those girls who ran in the state meet. Class 2 boys, how about North Platte taking a 4th place finish as a team on the boys' side? Noah Heckman and Drake Karras medaled for the North Platte boys. Those two were part of the team's 4th place finish at state. Also want to give on the girls' side, how about a couple of top 10 finishers in the KCI Conference? In 3rd place, Chloe Heckman from North Platte. How about Julia Patterson from West Platte in 5th place? Courtney Witherow from Penny finished in 8th place. Also, don't forget about this, in 13th place, Brianna DeBoard, the junior from North Platte, finishing in 13th place. Again, you can check out all of the cross-country results on the Cliff Notes Podcast social media pages. We have results of all of our local runners who ran today. Congratulations to you all for the trip to state. Want to also talk about the Saturday schedule. On the Saturday schedule, we got the Class 3, 4, and 5 state cross-country meets, including the Benton boys on the Class 4 side, making it to the state championship, qualifying for state for the first time as a team since 2003. You can go back and listen to the interview I posted earlier this week with Cruz Bigham, Connor Jones-Taylor, and Elliot McCoy. You can check that on the Cliff Notes Podcast. You can check that out on anywhere where you get your podcast feeds there. Also, Maryville girls qualifying in Class 3 for the first time since 1993. They will be bringing their boys team along as the Spoofhounds look to chase multiple state championships there in Class 3. Also, Central has 2 boys and 2 girls there qualifying for state as well on the Class 5 side there. So let's talk about MIAA football now. How about a ranked matchup in St. Joseph as number 2 Pitt State travels to number 23 Missouri Western at 1 o'clock. It's also senior day for the Griffins. Definitely check out that one. That will be on the MIAA network. Also, Tommy Rezach will have the call on KFEQ if you want to listen to the game as well. Senior day, 1 o'clock. We will be there with pitchers and postgame tomorrow night on that edition of the Post-it Notes. Also, Northwest is at home. They are going to be hosting Northeastern State. That is also at 1 p.m. as well. So that will talk. And then Bishop LeBlanc, their third place game, Arcadia Valley, 10 a.m. on Saturday. You can check that out if you want to watch that game. That is available on Misha.tv if you want to check that out. That will do it for tonight's edition of the Post-it Notes. I want to thank Coach Troy Shank and Junior Peyton Hausman from St. Joe Christian for joining me on the podcast. Congratulations, gentlemen, on the victory. And we will see you guys tomorrow night for another edition of the Post-it Notes.